Hey everybody, so it's so nice to be here with you. My name is Rian. For those of you who don't know, my wife Helen, she's here. Our two girls, the one is Pippa Ann, she's 4 years old, another one's Juniper May. It's okay if you forget their names or can't remember it, because we were those parents that had double barrel and like weird names. We really tried not to have it, but it just happened. But they already sleeping, and so they're not here with us. But it's so lucky to be here, and it's a couple of guys from each meet this year with us, and they were quite keen to come and join. So it's lucky to have you guys here as well. And just before I begin, I just felt like in my time of preparation, I just said, I want to just give you a word of warning. I'm actually Afrikaans, okay? So sometimes my language this time of the day gets wacky, okay? So it's just, but as I was preparing, I just felt a word for Neil and Taryn, and also for you guys as a congregation. And so, I don't know where Taryn is, I know Neil, oh, there you go. So maybe you guys can just stand together. And it kind of like the word is very linked to one another. And it's a scripture that I want to just, I felt in the Lord, Neil and Taryn, just, our God is just looking onto you guys and just going, well done. Like you've given yourself, you've really allowed God to work over and above the logistics of everything, and you've done well. And but I feel like God is saying to you this, that there's a season coming where things are going to be different, obviously, and where things are going to increase. But for that season, I really feel like God is saying, don't lose the tenacity just before the breakthrough kind of thing. And I just found Galatians 6 verse 9, and it says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And I really pray that over you guys. And just that scripture goes on where it kind of gives an encouragement and it says, so then, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are in the household of faith. And I just really, again, just saying, like, pour yourselves in. And I think tonight, just even seeing the guys and the caliber of people that's here, it's really like a testament of how you guys have been pouring out into this. But with this, I felt God is actually challenging you guys as a church, as a family, as a community. And it's Hebrews 17. And I'm going to first read Hebrews 17, and then I'm going to go come back to Hebrews, Hebrews 13 verse 17. And I'm going to come back to Hebrews 13 verse 6. And it says this, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. And just as the testament of their lives is really them doing well and giving themselves, I want to encourage you as a congregation to, in a greater measure, say, God, show me how I can come alongside them. Show me how I can support them, because it's going to be of an advantage to you. And their breakthrough is going to be your breakthrough. Yeah. Just the same as your breakthrough has been for them, their victories. And I felt like in verse 16, just the verses before that, it again, it's kind of weird how it just all comes together. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. And really just, like how we were speaking now, then now Sean Adrianza sitting at the back is one of our elders with me in the morning congregation. And we were just going like, man, this is so exciting. How you guys are running around and you're setting up stuff. And just like James was also saying previously, you serve coffee once a month and you thought, man, I've done well. You know, I've served my heart out. But yeah, you guys are serving and everybody's doing anything, everything. And I think that is such a privilege. And I want to encourage you guys to continue in doing good. Continue in serving one another. Continue in serving your leaders. Because you never know where it's going to end up. Yeah. You never know what God is going to come and do. Yeah. We can't kind of see that. I know we would love to see that and be all prophetic about it, but man, the things that God has in store for us is way bigger than what we can think about. It's way bigger than what we can dream even about. It's very unique. And I want to encourage you guys to keep on keeping on. Amen.
Yeah.
Cool. So I hope you guys received that one. So I'm going to start my preach. Let me start here. Cool. So we've been speaking about hospitality, and that's a pretty cool thing for me. And I've been enjoying the fact that all over Joshen we've been preaching on hospitality, because it's like it reminds us of, well, that's better. thanks. It reminds us of the fact that we're not just Greenpoint, we're not just Edgemead, but we're Joshen. And I think there's such a momentum to that that causes us that when we even walk into the shops, and you walk maybe somewhere in Cavendish, if you live in Edgemead, it's very seldom that you get to Cavendish side. But if you go to Cavendish and you see a Joshen, immediately there's something of like we are one, there's a togetherness. And when we start preaching into the same thing, it feels like it's God almost standing like just before the bay, and he's kind of like blowing over the whole of Cape Town. He's blowing this word that is serving the whole of Cape Town. And I feel like that's so encouraging. And so tonight I'm going to speak about how we host. Now, that is very practical. I am a practical guy, but this is even more practical than that. And I'm going to try and get the very, like, this is now where my language starts going. I'm going to try to get the most out of it. Okay. Okay. Bear with me. But just the first thing that we looked at hospitality is we saw that it's something that we do to Jesus. Amen? You guys can remember that? It's a practical action. There's something of a practical outflow of it. We can't just say that we are hospitable people, but no one gets to actually taste your food. Because, I mean, that's the very thing that makes you hospitable, is when somebody comes into your house, or when you give something to someone, or you help someone. That's the thing of where it's a John Mayer sings, love is a verb. It's a verb. Okay, it's an action to it. We clearly see in the first preach that it is down to the least of these. Like Jesus, and we're going to go get into that scripture. Jesus clearly shows, like, this is not something that's just done to kings. Okay, I remember using the example in our congregation. I used the example of what if Donald Trump comes to your house, or Justin Bieber, or I don't know who the kids like today. You know, it's like, but that really important person, even Jesus. If Jesus comes to your house, man, you're going to be just like, I'm giving you my best kind of thing. And in that, I believe God is saying, like, it's not about the important person. It's like he's actually saying, like, you know, that guy there, or this person that you think is just a normal Jack or a Joe on the street that you bring into your house. The moment you bring them into your house, he's saying, like, when you do that, when you love them, you are loving me. And I think that is such an important thing. Another thing that we learned is that it's of eternal significance. And I mean, that's something I remember. We were, every week, we were sitting a bunch of guys there in Edgemead, and we were planning out, like, what are we going to preach? What's the things that we want to eat? And the more we started speaking about it, everybody kind of was thinking in the beginning, it's hospitality. I mean, we're going to speak about hosting. We're going to speak about how do you open up your home. And we're thinking, like, are you going to do that for just 3 weeks? How are you going to speak about that? But the more we were delving into it, we realized that hospitality is not just opening up your home. It's not just giving someone food. But it's actually, it's a state of being and a state of heart going, I acknowledge what Jesus has done for me. And out of that place, everybody that I look at is someone that's worth loving. Everybody that I come in contact with is someone that's of a higher value than me. And out of that place, we become a hospitable people. And now we've put a word to it, but actually it's just a way for us to express what the verb is. But the reality is, the love that Jesus poured out into us, that is the thing that just comes out, it just pours out into people's lives. We're actually just being like Jesus and going, man, Jesus would have loved me. Jesus would have given me some water if I was thirsty. Jesus would have just probably even said just hello, you know. And out of that, we do the same to people around us. And I think to say that it's got eternal significance is really like, almost want to say an understatement of the value that it is to be a hospitable people. It's actually to be a people that carry the character of Jesus wherever they go. In Matthew 25, we all started there. It says, come you who are blessed by the Father. So Jesus had all these people together, and he's got the sheep and the goats. And it's genuinely understood that this is believers. It's not the unsaved. This is believers. And he's going like, come you who are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did you do it? And then he starts, when did we start giving you food and clothing and whatever? And the king answered him in verse 40. He says, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these of my brothers, you've done it to me. I mean, and that's like, when I read that, it makes me think like, every time I remember we moved from Swellendam about 2.5, almost 3 years ago, to Edgemead, to come serve in Edgemead. And in Swellendam, you don't really see a lot of people that live on the street. It's a lot of like the poor, rich, everyone kind of, there's two stores. There's a Checkers and a Spar. And whether you are the richest farmer or the poorest of persons in town, everybody buys at the same Spar. There's like, everybody buys the same Checkers. So the financial standing in life kind of gets blurred quite a lot, and you get to know people from different sides. But when you come to Cape Town, all of a sudden, it's so clear, just the different lines of rich, poor, this, I wear super wet, and I wear this thing, Adidas, and whatever else. Like, you guys get what I'm saying, hey? So, you see the lines so clearly. And so I remember we were living here for about 2 or 3 weeks, and I stopped at the robot. And as I stopped at the robot, there was this guy standing with a sign. And as he stood there with the sign, I could just see like the amount of disappointment, of frustration to some degree, but just life has really been hard. And it's almost like he was in the last bit of his day, and he just realized this is not working. And he just walked away and he grabbed his bag and he was kind of walking away. And as he was walking away, my heart broke. Because it's all of a sudden I just felt like, man, I see the hurt. I see the lack of love, the lack of people knowing and being aware of those around them. And I drove away from that not having done anything. And I felt so convicted, like, God, why couldn't I just do something? Why couldn't I just be something to that person? And I don't want to get us onto like a train that we're not on. But just I think there should be an awareness in our side that everybody around us could very well be Jesus. Because Jesus wouldn't have gone, no, I'm going to love you and not you. He would have gone, I'm loving everybody that's open to be loved. I'm loving them. But for us, it's a little bit difficult to see that and go. So for us, I think the response is to love as many as possible that's around us. And in that, we are actually coming to a place of where we get to love Jesus. I mean, how awesome is that going to be? As one day, you're coming into heaven, you're standing in front of Jesus, and Jesus is going, hey, you know that night when you kind of, you were tired, you just wanted to get home, and you saw that person sitting there on the side of the road, and you kind of drove past him, and you made a U-turn to go get something, and you actually gave your jacket. I know it's just a joke, but for some reason, people think that you have to be, if you're in Josh Jen, you have to wear a K-way jacket. Okay, so... So you give away your beloved K-Way jacket, okay, your puffer jacket. You give that jacket away and you just give that love to that person and you kind of just go on. And one day Jesus comes to you. You know that moment? Man, you loved me so much. And I just, can you imagine that thing, that feeling when we come to that end? So today I want to be focusing on hosting, but... As I'm going to speak about hosting, we're speaking about something that's done in my house. But that's not where being hospitable or showing hospitality ends, really. There's a couple of principles and a couple of things that we're pulling out. But really, it's a life lived looking at people around you as more important. And whatever you have, knowing that, hey, it's better served on them. Amen? Something else, just before I go on. Just something I felt for you guys. In being hospitable and showing hospitality and having that outlook on life, I felt like the Lord showed me like some people are going to walk through these doors. And when you guys touch them and you encounter them, for some people that will be the first true love that they experience. For some people, that will be the first real encounter and feeling of family that you get to bring them into. But if we're just focused on me, you know, we often do that. If we just focus on this, we'll miss that opportunity. We'll miss that moment when we can just love on someone. Just a couple of months ago, Sean and myself, we were coming back from a meeting and we said, like, today we're going to, before we get back to the meeting, we're going to just stop at a shopping center and we're going to just share the gospel a bit. So we were walking around and trying to find people. And as we're trying to find people, there was really like not a lot of people. And there's this guy sitting on his scooter that's waiting for a Mr. Delivery kind of packet at Spur that he needs to. And we come up to him and we start praying for him. We asked him to pray and he kind of like just yes. And it feels like the house lights are on but there's no one home kind of scenario. And so we walk away from it and we eventually went home. And 2 weeks ago, hey Sean, it was 2 weeks ago. Here this guy, I'm starting to preach and this guy keeps on, I look at him and I'm like, don't know where I know him from. It's like, he looks so familiar to me. We gave him a card of where the church is at and said, hey, when you come, here's a coffee. Like, I mean, this is like 2 months later. And here this guy, Grady or Brady, same thing, one with G, one with B. He's sitting in front of us and he's just like, man, I loved it. And he came to church and he's going, okay, my life, like I'm experiencing God in my life. And I mean, I've gone and forgotten about this guy. But he comes walking into church. And I'm like, no, where do I know him from? You know, you guys prayed for me. And immediately when he said that, my heart just bursted out with like, hey, bro, how are you doing? It's like, you know, all of a sudden you just feel like, man, we're family all of a sudden. And it's... I think these moments for this for us, that when people come and visit us, when they come, it's like we get to invite them into family. And if we're not going to be hospitable people, if there's not going to be action, practical action to this, where they're not going to feel it. They're going to come to church and the experience is going to be not great. So for this, we need open hearts. We need hearts that are open to love. I was speaking to someone earlier today, and just someone in our church, and they've been struggling their family dynamics quite difficult, and they've been struggling quite a bit with actually just getting to church and getting to community. And they recently adopted someone, and as they it's actually the lady's sister. They adopted this sister, and Mervis, he was ministering by us this morning, and he gave a word to this girl that they adopted, not knowing like she's been adopted, not knowing her story, and it just blew this her mind away. And in the word, I went and I spoke to the family, and I just said to them, like, hey, you've got to realize, like, you are the family that God has placed there in. And there's a responsibility on you guys to nurture this gift and to become part of the church and actually, like, pull her into it, because that's where God is going to work these things in your life. What if you this morning decided, I'm not coming to church, I'm just bailing on this, I don't feel this, or I don't feel like this? And the lady actually said, like, man, like, sometimes in my heart, like, we've previously been burnt at a previous church, and we're struggling to open up our hearts. And I just, in that, tried to encourage her as to why we actually need to open up our hearts. If Jesus has got our lives in His hand, we need to be risking it with our hearts, with our emotions, with our feelings, with our house, with the things in our house. Like, we need to be risking it. Because the thing that matters, which is our life and our salvation, that can't be taken by anyone. It can't be hurt by anyone. It can't be tarnished by anyone. It's in His hands. So everything else is up for risking. And I think with that, we need to, as we're together as family, we need to be going, man, we're going to love. Every time someone comes to that door, or every time I go out of my house, I'm going to love on this person. And if they kick me or steal my stuff or like whatever that means, next time I'm going to just love again. Amen. Amen? Because even for us, we kind of sometimes steal from Jesus and kick Jesus and kick the Lord in the way that we react. But yet He always comes with grace. He always comes with His mercy. He always comes with His love, with His forgiveness. And I think for us, we need to take on that same thing. So we need open hearts. Open hearts creates open homes. I wish I could take credit for that one, but open hearts create open homes. I want to tell you, I'm telling a lot of stories, and I hope I get through everything. But when I was in my second year in Bible school, it's many years ago, I look young, I'm not that young. I feel like an old soul. Close. Before I got saved, I was very much just not an artistic kind of even anyway focused person. And after I got saved, I became emotional. I started crying, and it happens at the weirdest moments. But also, I started like having some kind of a artistic feel of like, I want to express myself. It's weird, like, just it makes sense in my head. But so one of the things was photography. Like, I always wished, like, man, I can just take cool photos and videos and whatever else. And so I prayed and said, God, I really am trusting You for a digital camera. So back when I was in second year, you had this thing called the Canon PowerShot, and it was kind of like this revolutionary little compact, you know, digital camera that had 8 megapixels and like, you know, it was like, it was the shiz, you know, it's like you had it. Like, and my dad took out a cell phone contract for me, and the cell phones weren't at all iPhones. It was like this Sony music phone with an MP3 player in it, you know, that you can flip open. And part of this deal with the cell phone was you get a camera. But I didn't know this. So the deal, the package comes sent to my home, and as it comes into my home, I realized there's more than just a cell phone in here. There's actually a digital camera. And I'm completely blown away, like God has provided, you know. Like this is the promise of God, a man he's provided for me. And about 2 weeks goes by, and I was living across a family that was in our church, quite well off. They really had a lot of money. At least that's what it looked like to me. I was a very poor student, okay. So, I woke up the morning and I clearly felt God say to me, I need to go give my camera to them. And I'm like, no ways. Like, God, this can't be. I mean, they can afford it. They can afford something way bigger. You know, it's like, and better. They can afford it. And I kind of wrestled with God for a whole day. And the Sunday came, went to church. And as we came to church, I heard that they were joining a team that's going to Madagascar on an outreach. And God said to me, Rian, you need to give that camera. And I felt this like weight from the Lord and like having to sow into that. And so I realized, okay, cool, I'm going to go do this. So I got home, actually drove with them home, and God went to my house opposite them, got the camera, rang the doorbell, and the lady opened the door, and she's like, hey, like, we just saw you, what do you want, kind of thing. She didn't say it like that, but it makes my story interesting, okay. And so she opened the door, and as she opened the door, I said to her, Tani Mersha, I just felt like God spoke to me about giving this camera to you. And as I give the camera to her in her hand, she starts bawling, like seriously bawling, like it's just a camera, you know. And God actually spoke to them 2 days before this, because they had a friend that was in the UK, and it was going to get the bigger Canon power shot for them from the UK. It's going to be cheaper there because it's so expensive here. And they clearly felt God said to them, don't get a camera. And here I come, poor student, they know this Afrikaner, Bloemfontein student, there's no money. And here he comes and he gives me his camera. And they, I mean, just like still till today, when I see them, like there's something there regarding that camera. And that camera for years, I mean, they used that thing way further than what they should have. Just in terms of the year amounts that they've used the thing, because it was so special to them. What I'm trying to say to us is the reality is if our hearts are not open to share everything in our lives, even the promises and the things where we feel God has provided for us, our house, our hearts will never be open. And we've got to kind of like just put ourselves away from these things and go, these things are not an end. It's all just something that helps us to be here. The end is Jesus. The end is Him. He, loving Him, showing Him how much you love Him. And we use all these things to make sure that everybody knows who He is and how much I love Him through loving them. And I want to encourage you, as we go through these things, there's going to be things where we have issues in our heart that actually stop us from opening up our heart, that stop us from opening up ultimately our home. Because an open heart creates an open home. Okay. So first of all, pride. Man, just even with that story, like I was like this, there was this false humility in me, which is actually pride of going, but my camera is not good enough. They can afford something much better. But God had a different plan. And for some of us, in terms of hosting, it is maybe your house. You're going like, but God, I'm only living in like a serious little dingy rat box, you know. And I don't know if someone would want to come and sleep here. Like I always use the story of our house in where we live in Panorama. And like with two girls, there's always food on the floor. Like apples, stronke, and you know, like there's always something on the floor because it's small kitties. So they eat and forget they ate something and then they walk off and do something else. This like last night we had people over and I closed our curtains and stepped on something. And I was like, I don't know what that is, but I'm like, I'm going to go. I'm just going to go to bed now. And this morning I was out early for church. And as I came back from church, we had a couple of baptisms. It was pretty cool. And came back from church. And my wife opened the curtains before that. And I saw just behind the couch what's lying there. And I'm like, yo, it's light. And I still don't know if I want to get near that thing. And it was actually a cookie that some other child had in my house that he spat out. And the cookie was just lying there. So I'm justified in saying that, man, when you come to my house, you're probably going to find something that is not nice, okay? But that can't stop me. That can't stop me from going, no, 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 wait, God, no, no, no. People can't deal with it. I know people that you just, when we were students, you used to like have a couple of friends that's got quite like a light constitution, if I can call it like that. And you would just look like something is bleeding or look like something is off, and they're like, maybe some of you is here, and so you would go like, and this person, you know? Okay, just no bleak faces, Leon, are you okay? Okay. But like, people are going to be grossed out. He's actually older. I'm going to use you as one of my, I didn't ask you, but she's one of the young single ladies in our congregation, guys, just saying. and Alda lives in a bachelor apartment. Now Alda, she actually opened up her house to host someone in for 412. So that's a bed, a couch, you must... No couch, a bed, a little kitchenette, and a toilet. No privacy. And she's going like, hey, I'm willing to host someone. That means that she's probably going to sleep on the floor. Now, I'm pretty certain that you at least have something, maybe more, a couch. But if we're caught up in this thing of pride and our hearts are not open and we think my thing is not good enough and it's got to be a 5-star this and it's got to be a, like, we're going to miss the point of it. We're going to miss the point of it. And actually, you're going to miss out on Jesus coming and sleeping on your bed. Because if Jesus knocks on the door, you're going to go, hey, take my bed, take my everything. I'll sleep outside even if it's snowing. If that's like, but just come into my house. Like, seriously, just. Shame. I think I spoke about that. Like, we don't want others to see how we live. We don't want, like, we don't want others to see what the things are in our lives. Or, like, there's so many times things like this that actually keep us back. Closes off our hearts, and in the end we have a closed home. The aisle of privacy. That's big. We live in a day that almost nothing seems to be private. Social media, internet, like everything just makes everything so accessible. Yeah. I know for me, on Monday is my off day. And on a Monday morning, my wife is a bright and early person. And so when I come from the bedroom to kind of make coffee and do breakfast with the girls, like, all the windows and curtains are open. And I feel like a vampire if they ever would exist. I'm going like, ah! Like, I just want curtains closed because... You know, I just want my privacy, because you... But the reality is, it's something in our lives, so where we're going like, man, certain parts of my life is private. But have you ever thought of the acts and what it would look like when there's thousands of people streaming into the city, they're getting saved, they've got nowhere to go, but yet they want to keep on meeting. So it means that a house that served 30 people now has to serve 100 people possibly, if not more. It's like zero privacy. And I think for us, it's something like, if our lives are open, what is there not that we can share? What is there not that we can let other people in? And I think it's so important for us to make sure, because this challenges us, it helps us to go and to see how we live. Because sometimes in, we might be very nice and be, but in the way that you live, or in the way that you treat your wife or your children, which very few of you have children at this moment, but the way that you kick your dog might not be the greatest way. And it's important to have people come into your home to start like showing, like, this is the way that I live. Because in that there's a blessing for you, because in your life things gets worked on, but also there's a side to it of where you get to pour out into someone else's life, where you create space for them. A big thing that causes us not to open our hearts is bad experiences. Bad past experiences of hosting someone or someone being in your house. And the other day I had a bad past or bad experience, but it's not that bad. So, but I'm going to use it as an example. I love Tim Tams. And Alda, one of like our people, she was very special and she brought me Tim Tams all the way from Australia. And so I was quite chuffed about this thing and I was not planning on sharing it with anyone. And so we had a bunch of leaders over our house and they were kind of, they were eating lunch. And Helen, I'm busy making coffee and Helen's like, we don't have anything for pudding. But we have your Tim Tams. I'm like, no. That is mine. I'm okay. They'll be okay if they don't get pudding today. We're making them nice coffee. And Helen gave my Tim Tams away. Obviously. But for some of us, it's maybe someone that you brought into your home and they stole something. Happens. Or you open up your house for hosting and you go, okay, cool, I'm gonna hit this thing out of the park. I'm gonna make sure my whole monthly budget goes into the food for this week, and then I'm gonna make food for these people. And as they come, they go, man, the 412 conference is so awesome. We just want to spend time with everybody. Thanks for letting us sleep here. We're not gonna eat here. And you've already prepared the food, that becomes a bad experience. And where you go like, hey, next year, I don't know about this hosting thing. This hosting thing, it costs me money, it costs me time, and the people don't eat my food, kind of thing. That's bad experiences, and we laugh about it. I remember when we were in Swellendam, we had a couple of Josh Jenners come. Like, I mean, it's Josh Jenner, we all know one another. And this one couple, they really took a lot of care, and they were quite cautious, that's the word, cautious in opening up their home, struggling a little bit financially, and they eventually we got them to go, cool, this is a blessing for you to open your home. And so I opened up their home, and this other couple from another congregation comes, and they asked beforehand the couple, like, what do you like? And they said, no, we enjoy cool drink or Coke or whatever else. And so this couple thought, okay, cool, we're going to buy a 2 liter of Coke to bless these guys. And the Friday night they got there and they had a wonderful chat, and by the end of it, the Friday night, the Coke was finished. And so Saturday morning came, and the couple that's being hosted asked the hostess, can you go buy us another bottle of Coke? And they were like, okay, we do this in faith. Yeah. And they ended up that weekend having bought 6 bottles of Coke. And for them, after that, they were going like, never again are we opening up on. We don't drink Coke. We can't afford Coke. Never again. We worked it through with them, and today they're still hosting. But that's a bad experience. And that bad experience, if we're not careful, we can close our heart because of that thing, and it will end up in us closing our home. And we close our home, Jesus comes and he comes knocking. Because that's what he says. It's like, I'm knocking at your door. Are you going to open up for me? And sometimes those experiences can actually cause us to go, man, I don't care if it's Zuma or I don't know what other name, but a famous person, whoever that is, like, I don't care who that is. Like, they can come in and I'm not gonna help them. And I think that for us, that's where we need to look at ourselves and know and realize that even for us in Jesus, we were the worst. We deserved death. We did not deserve hospitality. We did not deserve love. We did not deserve being brought into his family and no longer being orphans. And I think that's such an important thing for us. Another big thing is fear. How is this person going to treat my possessions? How is he going to treat my family? How are they going to treat my children? And if we don't say, God, we trust in you, this is like doing it as unto you, we're gonna struggle to open up our homes. I remember there was a time where, we were just a bunch of guys, students, but we would have guys from the street, we'd bring them into our homes and kind of say, cool, let's come live with us for a week so that we can kind of spend time with you. And, you know, you try and help this person. And, man, the amount of times that you kind of, the guy makes a turn and he accepts Jesus and he, like, just starts looking for work and whatever else. And then one day you come home and you realize my hi-fi is stolen, or my... what is worse? I don't know. My wife. Like, don't steal my wife. But my hi-fi is stolen, or this guy's taken a couple of things. And then you, in that moment, you feel so like violated and go, man, but look at all that I've done for you. And then God comes and he shows us our own hearts, and we end up, I mean, we went through that thing a couple of times. And I believe it's for us to overcome these fears, because any fear that we allow to stop us from doing something is not a good thing. And God is calling us to be a people that have open homes. Now, some of us don't have homes. Some of us don't have the means to even host someone. But this is where we're family. And I think this is where I want to kind of just move and make this a little bit more practical. Because today, I want to say to us like this, this should be us leaving here tonight. We should go, I can be hospitable and I can open up my house for hosting for 412. It's now the one area that we kind of just like trying to speak about a bit that makes it practical. It's not the end, but it just shows us whether this is a muscle that we are exercising or not. And so our hosting is a place where we get to open up our homes and say, cool, people, come in. But some of us working, you can't maybe take leave for the 412 hosting. But can you make a meal? Are you hospitable if you go, hey, Neil, I can't host someone. I don't have space, or my landlord doesn't allow for it. But can there be one evening where I bring you guys a glass or a meal or a glass of water? He can get himself. I'm going to tell you why I'm thinking of a glass of water. Tim Tams. But in Mark 9, it says this. Mark 9:41, it says this. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. I mean, that's like even just a cup of water. Jesus is going, I look at that and I'm going, well done. And that starts with going like, my life is open. My house is open. My heart is open. Because then you realize, like anything, whether it's a bread, whether it's a meal, whether it's your house, doesn't matter. It's all done through the same love. Even a glass of water. Amen. So, how do we host people in a way that is helpful? And you might want to just quickly just write down these things. Because it helps for us to be able to communicate with guys and go, like, this is going to help the relationship all together. First of all, communication. It's important that when you want to host someone or when you want to get someone into your home, for instance, the 412 conference, that you meet, or not meet up with them, but WhatsApp them or Facebook message or whatever else you use for communication. Go, hey, I'm so excited to have you coming to me. How are you doing? My name is Rian, or this and that. And you start having the conversation with them of coming into your home. And immediately, the moment they get to your home, you're not a stranger anymore. But you're now someone that's communicated with them. You're someone that they've started to get to know. And in that, things that you can chat about is, what are your different food tastes? What are your dietary requirements? We've had a couple of, like, actually, where's, I'm gonna Yaku and Simone, a young, brand new couple in our congregation, a dating couple, young love. And so we had them in our house, and Helen loves making food. So anybody want to eat good food, come to my house. Okay, it's the invitation. Open house. But Yaku and Simone, they don't eat avo, they don't eat tomato, the pineapples. And so Helen was going like, we're going to make nachos, and it's going to be a feast. But we didn't know that they don't eat avo. We didn't know that they don't eat tomato. So we have this whole feast, and Yaku is like picking. And Simone is like picking. Okay. This was a hit and a miss, or completely. So to prevent awkward situations like that, and then later on being preached about, thanks guys. Start the conversation going, hey, is there something that you don't eat? It's really just something that's like, when you go up into Africa, I mean, we are in Africa, but into the deeper part of Africa, you quickly get told, like, when somebody gives you food, you eat the food. And we were out in Mozambique at an orphanage there. Now, I come from Bloemfontein. Fish is like a foreign thing to me. I don't eat fish. Just, I don't like it. I don't, the smell of it, nothing works. And we're at this orphanage, and they start giving, and you're eating with all the kids and stuff. And they give a big bowl of rice, and on top of the rice, they've got the leaf of pumpkin. It's like a maroch kind of thing, for those that know what maroch is. But it's like maroch, and then you've got these two fishes that's lying on top of this bowl. But these two, it's like small little fishes, they are black. As the night, it's like, it looks like charcoal. But it's the head, it's the everything. And for these orphans, they look at this and they're going, you know. And I'm going, how am I going to do this? But the reality is, like, it's important to know those things. It's important because you want to come, when people come to your house, you want to serve them as best as what would be love to them. Because it's not about you. And I think it's important for us to start having those conversations. A very important thing is to get a photo of the person, okay? Because, and I'm going to say this, because you come to the airport and you're wanting to be a good guest and say, cool, I'm going to go come pick you up from the airport. And all of a sudden, you realize, I don't know what this person looks like. It's happened to me. It's not fun. So get a photo. Be welcoming. Like for us, for Helen and myself, like when someone comes stay by us, we try and make it as great for them as possible. And that doesn't always mean that you need to have the Egyptian cotton duvet and the, you know, all those things and the diffusers. No, it's like, it's sometimes just having a bed, and on top of the bed, there's a small little lint ball, because that's what we can afford. It's the idea that counts. And I'm still to hear about someone that comes into the room, gets a lint ball, and go, this is not good enough. Like, no, people go, man, thank you for the thought of it. Thank you for, because it shows that we are interested in that person. So the next point would be to make it welcoming and make it special for them. Even if it's your budget is like strict, there's ways that we can make it special. It's about that heart.
Yeah, good.
Language. We've got people coming from all over the world. Côte d'Ivoire, it's French. I don't know if I even said that right. But Brazil, the UK. People from Bloemfontein, okay? That's right. I mean, come on. Like, I remember when I came to Cape Town, I was like, I didn't speak English. It's like people start praying in English. I was like, whoa, this is weird. Like, so something like language and these things that we can make it practical to serve our guests. Something important, Wi-Fi. And we're saying Wi-Fi because it's something that can either be awkward or it's something that can be helpful. So if you live on a 10 gig cap and you start paying R1,000 every gigabyte, you go over that, and your guest doesn't know it, because for most international people, they don't have the kind of charges that we have in terms of data. They might be living in 100 megabytes fiber uncapped. And here they go, like YouTube, and all of a sudden your cap is done in an hour. There was one thing that the guys were saying from some of the guys in Brazil. It's like these guys are like internet mongers. Like they just... And so it's a good thing to have a conversation with the person and say, hey, I only got 10 gigs of cap. Can we just check how you use it? It's just a communication at the end of the day. See, the thing is, the heart with opening up our homes at the end of the day is to make this thing to get to know one another. It's very important. We want it in the end to be a thing of where we get to know one another, where we get to spend time together. I think it's so important, I know for me and my house, when I have someone, we had Dan Barnard was with us. They were with you guys as well. And we were hosting Dan and Sam. And I mean, I know Dan for quite a while, and I want to kind of be able to spend as much possible time with him. And so the ladies already went to bed, and Dan and myself are having these deep conversations. And so I would speak, and Dan would go, yeah. And he would be gone. But I mean, it's like 12 o'clock at night, and then I would just go, and he's like, yeah, you know what I was thinking? And as he's speaking, I'm falling asleep. And eventually it was like a tennis match, and we realized, okay, we're tired. We need to go. But we need to realize, like, these people, the people that it's coming to our house, that is coming from all over 412, and it's hosting them. There's something of that where we want to draw as much as possible from them. There was a guy coming from Vredendal, one of the Vredendal, and I didn't know him from a bar of soap, but coming from Vredendal, it's lack of people, okay? It's like really just friendly people. And we sat down speaking till 2 o'clock in the afternoons. Ach, the mornings, not the afternoon. And today, I can give him a call and go, how's it going? And it's like there's a connection there that is far deeper than just him staying in my house. So, this is a weird preach, I know this, but I hope that you get the heart of all of it. I think it's important for us to just get back to that point of an open house or an open heart causes an open house. And that's whether we're housing for 412 or whether we're walking down the street and helping an old lady over the street with her packets. It's the same thing. It's always us looking out for someone to help, for someone to invite in, for someone to get into your home where you can actually just spend time with them, love them, pray for them. And in that place, we're creating family and we're showing who Jesus is. Because that's important. Can we pray? So I want to, our eyes are closed, I want to ask that, first of all, speak to the believers, to those of us who know Jesus, who've given our lives to Him. But you know, just as I'm speaking tonight, that you maybe don't have stories of where people stole your hi-fi, or stole, or ate your Tim Tams, or made life a bit inconvenient for you. And if you don't have that story, I want to encourage you here tonight to maybe bring your heart before God and say, God, I want to be able to open up my heart to have these experiences. They might not be always the nice experiences, but in between them, there's those experiences of where people say, man, I stayed with you, you brought me into your home, and I felt like you made me a brother. And you loved me like I was family of you. And I want to ask that if you are here tonight and you realize, like, man, my heart's actually been quite closed with this. I've actually just been worried just about me and my relationship with God, but not really looking out and going, how can I love someone outside of just me and my relationship with God? And if that is you tonight, I want to ask you just that you respond to this. And that you say, God, tonight here, I don't have maybe the way, or I don't always feel like I have the resources, but God, I want to ask that you use my small house, my little bit that I have, my glass of water in my hand that I can give out. I ask that you use everything of me to extend your kingdom and to show that love that you showed me, to show that to everyone around me. And be able to build into my brothers and be able to receive you, Jesus, into my house unknowingly. And so if that is you tonight, if you're saying, God, I want to give myself to this way of your kingdom, don't you just want to stand up for me? Just, and it's not for me, it's actually towards God. Where you're saying, like, God, I want to open up my home, I want to open up my life, my heart. It's yours first, and because it's yours, I can give it to my to your people. And so if that's you tonight, if you don't just want to stand with me, just as a response to the Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that in order to feed the 5,000, you need a few loaves and you need a few fishes. And tonight, as we, those that are standing around us, I pray, God, that you would take the few loaves, that you would take the few fishes in their hands, God, and that you would feed the multitudes. We want to be a people that's got an open house. We want to be people that's got open hearts for you to use. We really want to live out this thing of what's mine is yours. What's in my fridge is yours. And so I pray for each of these saints that are putting up their hand and maybe saying, God, I don't know how, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I'm willing. I pray, God, that you will come with your peace and you'll settle their hearts that you are the one that's leading and that you are the one that's doing the work. And I just pray, God, that there would be supernatural stories and testimonies, God, of your working, of you coming and making space, of you coming and making room. And God, that they would be that little boy whose fishes was used, or the, whose bread was used, and that actually ended up feeding the multitudes. So we thank you for this. And just you guys can just keep on standing. But then for some of us, there might be some of us here that are not yet in a place of where we declare Jesus as Lord of our lives. And you've gone, man, I've heard about family, I've experienced maybe a little bit here and there, but really, I really want to know what it's like to be part of the family of God. And if that is you tonight, if you want to say, I want to know what it's like to be part of the family of God, I want to know what it's like to have the love of Jesus poured out into my life, I want to encourage you tonight to accept that Jesus loves you, that He died on the cross for your sins, so that you can be, so that your sins can be forgiven, and that He can pay that price, what sin is asking. That He can pay that price, and that in this, that you can step out and become part of the family of God. Because tonight, He's inviting you in to His family, and He's saying, there's space in my house, there's food on my table, there's love in my heart towards you. And so if that is you tonight, and you've never made that commitment, I want to ask you, if you can just as a sign towards Him, just also stand up. I know it's maybe asking a lot, but if you can just stand up and say, Jesus, here I am. I want to get to know you. I want to be part of your family. So I want to ask one more time. I want to say to you tonight, in Ephesians 1, we read this, that even before He made the world, God loved us, and He chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. And tonight, God is extending to you His hospitality and saying, I've made space for you in my home. Come and be with me. So if that is you tonight, if you want to accept that, don't just want to stand for me. Father, we thank you tonight that for all of us here, we have been adopted by you. We've been invited into your house. And we've been made your family. We are no longer walking in the dark, in the cold of night, facing the fears of the dark, God. But we actually now, you've brought us into a marvelous light, God. You brought us into a house with a fluffy bed, with hot food, and with lots of love. You've invited us into this place, God, and you've brought us into this. And I pray tonight that we would be those that as we go on the street, as we go to work, as we go to our homes, to our neighbor, to our family, God, that that is what the people around us would experience. That they would experience a love like no other. A love that is not connected to strings, but a love that is given freely. And so just as you have freely given your love to us, I pray that you will make us those that freely give love everywhere we go, God. And I pray just even as the nations come to us, God, through the 412 conference, I pray may it be said, God, that they say that, oh, it felt like I was being hosted by Jesus Himself. We give you all the honor and all the praise. We bless your name, Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thanks, man. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, guys. That was amazing. Just let this word soak into us, eh? For the days ahead, the times ahead. Really, it's not about our month coming up, but the concept of lifestyle that Ryan's preached about, isn't it? The lifestyle that Jesus is